This week we're going to talk about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. And we've already talked much about the Apostle Paul as we've been looking through our series on the book of Acts. We've been doing it for several months now. And we know Paul is a very important example or model for us for taking the gospel into all the world. Paul, been on three different missionary journeys, each one of them that we've looked at carefully and tried to explore what God would teach us through the missionary travels of Paul as he went into Galatia in his first missionary journey. How he then, following the lead of the Holy Spirit, went into Europe during his second missionary journey. And as we've just concluded shortly, some time ago, he went into Asia and brought the gospel there. So the Apostle Paul is a very worthy model for us, especially as we are thinking in terms of how we are to be mission-minded. Two-thirds of the book of Acts is devoted to the Apostle Paul. And if you want to think about the letters of the New Testament, 13 of the 27 letters we have in our New Testament were written by the Apostle Paul. So his missionary journeys give us many good examples of boldly sharing the message of the gospel. And his letters are full of his convictions and his thoughts and his purposes for taking the gospel message into all the world. So we've seen both in Paul's travels and in his writings many things that would help us to remember the importance of missions. Now, Paul's story is an interesting one, and again, we've talked much about the Apostle Paul as we've worked through the book of Acts, but one unique feature of the Apostle Paul is the fact that his conversion and his commission to service actually centered around one event, his Damascus Road experience. He was both converted during that experience, and he also received his commission from God. Now, that's not true for most people. I'm guessing it's not true for many of us in this room. It's not true for me. I remember, as I've shared my testimony in the past, it was the latter part of high school that I really came to know Jesus as my personal Savior. My heart was convicted. I came to recognize that I needed someone to wash away my sins, and I called upon the name of Jesus and experienced the cleansing power of His blood, and I became a believer. And then, it was a few years later, then I really then began to feel God's call on my life and His commission to me to give my full time to serving Him, to getting ready to serve Him in ministry. And then it was some time after that that I really got involved with the work of ministry and began to boldly take on the work of sharing the gospel as God has called us to. That's normal. And I'm guessing if you, each of us, were to share our stories, we would probably have a story of how we came to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And then, after we've grown and matured in the faith, feeling called by God and convicted by the Holy Spirit to begin to share our faith with others, and maybe as opportunities then presented themselves, taking on responsibilities, maybe teaching a Sunday school class or getting involved in a missions project. And so for most people, it's these two events, this conversion and becoming a believer and being commissioned, don't always happen at the same time. But for the Apostle Paul, as we said, it all kind of centered around this event on the road to Damascus. And we've talked about this. So let's quickly review. Remember, before this event, Paul, if you recall, was an enemy of the followers of the way. In fact, if you remember, why he was going to Damascus, it was indeed to arrest believers, to bring them back to Jerusalem. He was a persecutor of the church, an enemy of the church. And then, Jesus met him on that road, struck him down, blinded him with light, and spoke into his heart, changed him, and radically changed him. Again, if we just think about our own experience, if you will, I remember when I was in high school, I had generally a pretty positive attitude toward the church. I wasn't an enemy of the church. I remember, again, I've shared this before on different occasions, my testimony. I was a child. I used to go to a church. It was more of a liberal denomination, and so there wasn't a strong focus on Jesus and the gospel. It was more about coming together and serving others and loving each other, and there wasn't really a focus on how we come into relationship with God. But that was my childhood experience, and then in high school I came to understand that I needed a Savior and that I needed to surrender my life to the Lord. So it wasn't as radical of a change as it was for the Apostle Paul. Here was an individual who just didn't have an ambivalent attitude about the church or an indifferent attitude about the church, but rather it was someone who hated the church, was actively trying to arrest and persecute. As we know, Paul was also involved in the killing of the first Christian martyr. But afterward, we're talking hours afterward, as he arrived in the city of Damascus, his life was changed, and we know that even there in the city of Damascus, he began from the very beginning to proclaim Jesus, who had met him on that road, proclaim Jesus as the promised Messiah. And we're familiar with the story. He had to be let out of the city in a basket through the wall, because the Jewish believers were so upset that his life had been so changed, a radical change. What's the point of the Apostle Paul in his story? Well, it's probably different than most people. We want to recognize that God touches our lives in different ways. God calls us to serve him in different ways. And the Apostle Paul, it was a radical change. For the Apostle Paul, it was an event that was so important in his life, this Damascus Road experience, how God stopped him in his path down toward destruction and brought him back. In fact, this account of the Damascus Road experience is seen three times in the book of Acts. The first time we read it is in Acts chapter 9. That's the historical event of how it happened in the life of the Apostle Paul. We also read the same story of Paul's Damascus Road experience again in chapter 22. We haven't got to that chapter yet in our series in the book of Acts. We'll be getting to that shortly. But we will note shortly, as Paul is before the Jewish authorities in the city of Jerusalem, he is sharing again what happened to him on that road to Damascus. And then we'll read it again in Acts chapter 26. There Paul will be standing before King Agrippa, and he'll be sharing again how God had transformed his life. So the writer of the book of Acts, Luke, writes this story three times. Chapter 9, chapter 22, chapter 26. Why does Luke repeat the story three times? Because it's so very important. It's so very important. And it's important in the life of the Apostle Paul. It's Paul who chose to tell his story again as he stood before the Jewish authorities in Jerusalem. It was Paul who chose to tell his story again as he stood before King Agrippa. I know we're often told or encouraged to share our testimony with others in our effort to tell them about Jesus, and that's valuable. Paul understood that. He probably told this story numerous times, twice it's recorded for us in the book of Acts, but he's telling us his testimony, telling us The story of how God worked in his life, how God radically transformed him. Now, as you said at the beginning of our service, we want to remember our testimony is valuable and good, but it is not the gospel. The gospel is what God has done. And so we want to share with others how God transforms us and changes us. Let's look at just two of the three portions of Paul's story of his Damascus Road experience to again consider how God changed his life and how God called him and commissioned him for service. Again, Paul's heading toward the city of Damascus. His purpose is to persecute the believers, to arrest them and bring them back to the city of Jerusalem. And this is where Jesus meets him on that road. Let's read from Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse number 4. It says, he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And this is where Jesus now begins to speak. Jesus says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And that last little phrase, we see words of anticipation of being told how to yield his life to Jesus and what Jesus will have him do. So let's jump over now to Paul's second telling of this story in Acts chapter 26. We get a more clear description of his commission. Chapter 26, beginning at verse 15. And Jesus, whom you are persecuting, him. Very same story, but just a different telling. The Lord replied, now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. Again, anticipation. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. As we think about this experience that Paul had, an experience he felt compelled to tell others about on two different occasions, probably more, but just Luke records two for us in the book of Acts. We note here that both in the conversion and in the commission, it is the act of God doing this. Our responsive reading earlier in our service talked about Isaiah the prophet. And it was God who said, who shall go? And Isaiah responded, here I am, send me. And God sent him. The Apostle Paul, heading toward the city of Damascus, Jesus meets him, stops him, changes his life in a radical way, and then calls him into service. You know, Paul did not have the same experience that the other 12 disciples had. Paul didn't hear from the very lips of Jesus when Jesus charged his 12 disciples there on the Mount of Olives to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Paul didn't hear the great commission from Matthew 28 being uttered by Jesus to his followers at that time. Paul wasn't there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to hear again Jesus standing on the Mount of Olives and telling his disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Rather, as we've seen in this story, Jesus personally visits Paul later on as he's heading toward the road to Damascus. In fact, listen to how Paul describes this event from First Corinthians chapter 15. This is the list of resurrection appearances that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter, starting with verse 5 in that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, 5. Paul says, "And he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. And then jumping down to verse 7, "Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." Some translations say one untimely born. Now, what does Paul mean by that? Paul's describing his own encounter with Jesus as abnormally born or untimely born. Paul recognizes that Jesus came later to him in a special way. When he saw Paul heading in the wrong direction, grabbed his life and radically changed him and radically called him to a different path. The path that Paul himself had chosen was a path of destruction and harm and an enemy of the church. Jesus encounters him and calls him in a different direction. Jesus also gives to the Apostle Paul a special revelation of the gospel. In other words, Paul didn't learn the gospel from the other disciples. He didn't hear the gospel of Jesus from Jesus' lips or from the lips of the other disciples. Rather, it is given to him by special revelation. Listen to how Paul describes this in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, beginning verse 11, Paul says, "I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." How does this relate to us? Well, we know that our experience most likely was very different than that of the original 12 disciples, very different from the story of the Apostle Paul. If you think about it, the conversion and then the commission of each person's story is probably very, very different. That's why I love testimony time, when we're given the opportunity to talk about how God changed our lives, how God took us from an enemy to a follower, how God took us from someone who wandered in their own direction to someone who submitted themselves to the will of God. Our conversion experience, our commission, may not have been that face-to-face encounter with Jesus like the original disciples experienced. It probably didn't involve a Damascus Road experience like the Apostle Paul, although some people I've heard testimony where God really did grab hold of them and radically change them and turn their life around. We've mentioned Martin Luther earlier in the service. Martin Luther was someone who was caught in a thunderstorm one day. And the fright and the fear of that thunderstorm caused him to call out to God and commit himself to following God. But most of us, I'm guessing, you have that Damascus Road experience like the Apostle Paul, or receive direct revelation from God like the Apostle Paul does, he tells us about in Galatians. Rather, our conversion, our commission, our path of following God most likely came as a result of hearing the Word of God, having the Holy Spirit work in our lives. It probably involved people giving testimony and sharing with us the gospel. Ordinary people like you and I. Sharing the gospel, sharing our testimony, passing on the word of God to others. Again, that's my experience. I'm guessing that's your experience as well. Let's talk now, as we close this morning, about Paul's conviction. His conviction of missions. Key idea that Paul had as he thought about missions is this idea of responsibility. Responsibility. And the key verse I want to look at this morning as we explore our responsibility to share the gospel is the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. This is what Paul says. And again, Romans, he's introducing his heart and his message to the believers there in Rome. So in chapter 1, verse 14, Paul says, I am obligated, both to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you in Rome. Common English Bible reads, has that same passage but translates it a little bit differently. Listen to how the Common English Bible translates that same verse, verse 14. I have a responsibility both to the Greeks and to those who do not speak Greek, both to the wise and to the foolish. King James, same passage, King James. Paul writes there, I am a debtor. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. And we want to add verse 16 to this. We've read verses 14 and 15, now verse 16. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation for all who believe. So we see here the three I am statements of the Apostle Paul in verses 14, 15, and 16. Paul says, I am a debtor. I am a debtor. Paul says, I am ready to preach. I am ready to preach. And finally, I am not ashamed. The three I am statements of the Apostle Paul. And I hope that we would consider these three I am statements and ask ourselves, are we like Paul? Understanding the fact that we are under a debt, and that we should be ready to preach, and that we should not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's talk about that word debtor for a moment. That word is very significant. The concept of a debtor, the concept of a debtor points to the fact that we are not really acting as a benefactor when we share the gospel. We're not being a hero when we preach the gospel. We're not conferring a great favor on someone when we share with them the gospel. We're not sharing or showing unusual generosity when we share the gospel. If someone does something that they do not have to do, if they go above and beyond in order to rescue someone or help someone, we could call such a person a hero. Imagine a scene where there's a burning building and you decide to not count your own life important, but rush into a burning building, grabbing someone and pulling them out of the flames. We could hold you up and say, here is a hero. They didn't have to do that. They weren't required by the fire department or by the law to rush into a burning building to save someone. Rather, they chose. They went above and beyond, and they chose to risk their own life to rescue someone from that burning building. That is not the concept that we're looking at here when it comes to sharing the gospel. When it comes to sharing the gospel with others, it is, again, as we saw in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, it is an obligation. An obligation, according to the NIV. It is a responsibility, according to the Common English Bible. We are a debtor, according to the King James Bible. Again, when you are paying a debt, you are not doing charity. You are under obligation to pay that debt. Think about your own experience of being in debt. You purchased a car. You took out a note on a car and you have to make car payments. Can you change your mind and say, you know, I'm not going to make those car payments. I decided I didn't like this car anymore, and so I'm going to stop making my payments. You can't do that. When you take out a loan, when you have a car payment, you are not doing the bank a favor when you pay your car payment or any other loan you may have. When you have a debt, it really does have a claim on your life. You can't just decide not to do it. It should occupy your utmost effort to fulfill that responsibility. All your resources should meet and discharge that first, even if you want to spend your money on something else. You have to pay that debt. The debts and the things you owe come first. Listen to how Paul describes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. Again, think about it in terms of we are a debtor. Paul is a debtor. Paul says, yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast. I cannot boast. For I am compelled to preach. As we saw in Romans 1:14, Paul has an obligation. He has a responsibility. He is a debtor. Going on, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. And then in verse 17, he again introduces this idea of it being voluntary or involuntary. Listen now, verse 17. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. In other words, if I don't have to preach, but I choose to preach, then I can get a reward for that. If I don't have to rush into that burning building to save that individual, but I do anyway, then I want a medal. I want to be considered a hero. I want to get the recognition I deserve for having risked my life and rushed into that building. Paul says, if I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. You can call me a hero. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. Paul recognized he was under obligation. Do we share the gospel with that same sense of obligation that we have when we owe a debt? Do we congratulate ourselves when we share the gospel as though we're doing something charitable for someone else, something worthy of recognition? Or rather, with Paul, do we have this notion that I am a debtor, and it's woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I am compelled to preach. The Apostle Paul understood himself to be under obligation. Therefore, he was ready to preach the gospel. He was not ashamed of the gospel. The Apostle Paul sets for us that standard. Each one of us who's experienced the cleansing power of the gospel likewise is under obligation and should be ready always to share the gospel with others and not ashamed of that gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. You came, gave your life for us so that we could have new life. Like the Apostle Paul, we recognize that when we share the gospel with others, we are not doing something above and beyond, but rather we are doing our duty. We are fulfilling our responsibility. We are a debtor. As Paul says, I am a debtor. Sharing the gospel should have its first claim in our lives. Help us to be always ready to share the gospel message with others. Help us to not be ashamed of the gospel, but boldly proclaim that gospel to all, that we are given opportunity to share it with. We thank you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.